Hi.
Hey guys. Well, I guess to kind of start off with, there's so much obviously in Churchill's life that you could have, you know, looked at or you know, made the plot around. What made it about these specific 96 hours and the importance of them that made you guys want to tackle this time frame? Alex, I've got to ask, obviously I think Churchill's character is very fleshed out, and I know Brian must have tackled this with a fervor. I mean, he seems to be completely engrossed in the role, but I've got to ask about writing for, you know, Mrs. Churchill and the other people around his life at that moment. I was really blown away by not only Miranda's performance, but Ella Purnell's performance. Can you talk about writing the characters that are directly around Churchill at this time, and what kind of inspired you to give us the great scenes you gave us in the movie?
Oh, thank you for saying that. I mean, it was important to me that I knew this film was, most of the characters would be men. It's kind of inevitable because obviously at that time that men were in charge, so that's how that works. It was important to me to try to get a couple of female characters into the movie just to balance that out a little bit. And I've always been fascinated by Clemmy Churchill. I think she's a really interesting woman. I mean, she definitely was no pushover and no kind of, you know, meek, quiet little lady sort of standing behind a great man. I mean, she was someone who had her own very strong political opinions. She disagreed with him a lot. She was not afraid to challenge him. And, you know, she loved him a great deal, I think, and was very supportive of him. And they had this very long marriage, which at some point, like many marriages, was very difficult. But you know, she stood by him, but that doesn't mean that she, was not aware of his many faults. And actually, she, you know, she did certainly challenge those many points in their life. And, you know, there was an extent to which I think she had to manage him. And Miranda just does that so beautifully. You know, she got it immediately. There was no need to explain to Miranda what needed to be done in that role at all. You know, she absolutely understood that combination of, you know, that frustration that you can have with the person you love, and yet deep down the affection, it was completely there. And I agree, I think Ella was wonderful in the movie as Helen, and Helen's a composite, really. So Churchill had a lot of different secretaries at various points, and a lot of them wrote memoirs of their time with Churchill, and those days they didn't really make you sign something saying that you wouldn't write about it. You know, no non-disclosure agreements were really signed at that point. So a lot of them wrote memoirs. So I took lots of different memories from those and kind of put them together to create this image. And I think he was certainly, what they all said was that he was, you know, someone with an incredibly mercurial temper. He could absolutely lose it with you and then be extremely kind. And so I wanted to kind of capture that a little bit. So there's some stuff like the story in the film where he says, "Give me Klopp," and she doesn't know what that is. That's actually a real story that happened to one of his secretaries. But Helen herself is fictionalized because we wanted her to have a backstory that related to D-Day a little more, and the real life secretaries did not.
So cool. Well, being a Texan, I've got to ask about one particular cast member. I was really curious to see how John approached Dwight D. Eisenhower, and I've got to ask about y'all's research into Dwight, because obviously for us Texans, he has a very big aura just as much as Churchill.
I mean, that was actually something I was really keen on. I mean, I don't know if you know, but I was... You know, I am a historian, and I've written two books involving Eisenhower. My most recent one about the Suez Crisis, which I hope if you're an Eisenhower fan, you'll like very much, because I think Eisenhower was really the hero of the Suez Crisis. So he's someone who I have a great deal of respect for. I think he's a fascinating guy. And so when the producers originally had the idea for this movie, they saw it as more of a kind of Churchill interacting with the man who was his butler at the time, was called Walter Thompson, and I said, no, I wanted to be Eisenhower, because I think he needs to be opposite someone who can really challenge him. And, you know, Eisenhower in many ways was kind of the man Churchill wanted to be. He was a proper war hero, and I wanted to bring that out. I think, you know, they did have a very fractious relationship with each other. I mean, certainly affectionate at some level and respectful, but they also really wound each other up, and I thought that was really interesting. So for me, but I don't know how they do, and there's an element of jealousy. Churchill does kind of want to be doing it. He wants to be leading the, commanding the operation, which Eisenhower is, and so that's that in the movie.
I think John's performance is really wonderful, because, you know, you have Brian firing them, you know, on all barrels, to really come up against, you know, Brian as the actor, as well as Churchill, the character, you know, really needed, we really needed an actor to bring their own distinctive style in making their character come to life. And I think John does it really, really wonderfully well. And there's some really, really poignant moments with him, you know, when, you know, he decides, he makes the big decision for them to go. And, you know, I'm pleased to say the film gives him a little bit of space and time to reflect on the decision that he's made, and I think, you know, that interaction with Churchill, as Alex said, you know, was a very fractious and very kind of up and down relationship, but at the same time, I think there was a great respect there as well, which allowed them in a way to really challenge each other, you know, and I think, you know. The film is in many ways about isolation and the way people in these positions are so isolated because of the roles that they have to take and the decisions they have to make. In many ways, they needed to let off steam against each other, and they needed to, in a sense, question each other to find out whether they were making the right decisions. You know, it's just really a small group of people in small rooms, you know, smoking too much and trying to save the world, really.
I love that you brought up the, you know, people in small rooms and in confining spaces, because one of the things I loved about y'all's movie is you take us outside of those rooms. Can you talk about the visual style you were going for, Jonathan, and showing us much more of, you know, at that time, the world as it was, and it wasn't, you know, even though these decisions were made in these small rooms, they were defending, you know, the beauty of their country, and I love that you guys show us so much of, you know, the area.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. You know, I always try and find a visual language that helps tell the story of the film that was there. I felt that intimacy and isolation were two big themes in the film, and I wanted to go from these sort of claustrophobic rooms to these white sort of panoramic exteriors to show, in particular Winston, but also all the characters, of which there are only a few in the film, of that sense of them being lost in this sort of very wide and isolated in this very wide open spaces. That whole idea of this green and pleasant land that, they're fighting this war about trying to save, I thought was just really, really important. And the thing too was that it's not just really about Churchill's increasing isolation. It's about, Eisenhower and Montgomery and the heads of the forces and all of them. The decisions they made were made in isolation, and the responsibility of those decisions fell on just a few shoulders. And to feel this guy, and in Churchill in particular, in these sort of vast spaces at times, I think added a really dramatic and visual contrast to the film, which I really like. The other part of that is that it allows us the breathing space, if you like, to allow the emotion that is sort of bubbling under the surface of the film to kind of like work its way up in a way and work on the audience, so that the feelings that you take from the film hopefully are poignant ones about what it is to send people off to war.
What does it mean to have the Coen Media Group get behind you guys and championing the film? I think of the last few years, the great, not just kind of World War II, but their look at poignant time frames. Ida, the Polish film, or France, and I definitely think your guys' film is in that Coen Media Group feel. Can you talk about having a company like that specifically?
I think the first thing I would say is it's so important, made, and that's kind of you think that's the end of it, but it's just the beginning, really. And finding a home for the film that is the right home is so important, because you can throw money at these things, but if you don't understand the film and the type of film it is, an audience can miss it. And I think there's a great sense of understanding, from Charles and all through the company, of what this film is and what it's not and what it's trying to do. And so in the way that, they're presenting it and the way that they're supporting it is very much in keeping with trying to bring it to an audience and, in a sense, present it to an audience, so that there's a great understanding and empathy with what we try to do as filmmakers, but also in the way that an audience will embrace the film. So I think it's really important. We're sitting in their offices now, and you look around and see the film posters and some of the videos of films that they have been involved in, and it is a very, very amazing catalogue of films. And we're really thrilled to be a part of that catalogue now, and hopefully all their incredible work that they're putting into the release of the film will pay off. Really hope that it finds an audience here, because I think an American audience will really embrace this film, because it asks many questions about leadership and about humanity and about the human experience of war. Is it just very relevant in today's times and in particular in this country?
Alex, do you kind of mind if I piggyback off of what Jonathan was just talking about? The fact that you are so immersed into writing history and telling us about, the wonderful lives that have come before us. Can you talk about having material that is so relevant and writing that type of historical look at things that do impact today?
Right, absolutely. Well, when you're looking at someone like Churchill, you have such a long, amazing life with so many different parts of that you could take and, make a film about. Really, there's room for hundreds of Churchill films, dare I say it. Who knows what's coming next? But I think there's so many different aspects of his story that are extraordinary. And so really that is part of the challenge, is trying to find one that speaks to us now, because one of the things, of course, about making historical drama is that you're always writing something about today. You're not just writing, you're not making a documentary in a straightforward way or anything like that. You're not trying to tell it exactly like it was. You're trying to tell it in a way that engages audiences today and makes it feel like it's relevant to them. And for me, a big part of that was really about representing, you know, Churchill in a period that was very difficult, where he probably was suffering from depression. I mean, you have to be very careful about diagnosing historical figures, because, of course, you can't examine them. It's, you know, you have to be realistic about that, that there are limits to what you can know. But certainly the way in which he wrote about his own depression was incredibly moving to me, and I think, you know, something, again, that a lot of people can really connect to very strongly. So that seemed to me to be something that was worth bringing up, because, you know, if you're kind of looking, if you do suffer from it, or if you have family members who suffer from it, and there's a lot to relate to in that. You know, we can't all relate to fighting a world war, but perhaps there are things that we can relate to in just his humanity and his experience. And so I very much hope that that does resonate with some people.
I think also finding, you know, this great iconic character at a point in his life where he was, as Alex said, you know, he did suffer from these downwards depressive cycles. It gives us an idea of the human cost that he went through in achieving what he achieved, you know, and in many ways, what he struggled against, you know, the inner demons that he struggled against, only made some of his great achievements all the more sort of relevant and, you know, kind of great, I guess.
Well, I guess the kind of final question for both of you guys, I know this is going to be kind of, you know, a fun one, but I'm sure you'll get this often. What makes me want to choose your Churchill film over other Churchill properties? Like, why should I go see your Churchill story? If I was you know what I mean?
The first thing I would say is that our Churchill story, I mean, hopefully you're going to see them all, but our Churchill story, I think, is a very personal and very intimate portrait of the man. I think it allows us, as I said before, a very intimate view and window into what it actually feels like, what emotions were going on behind the scenes in the making of these sort of, and in the playing out of these sort of momentous historical moments. I think also Brian's performance as Churchill, his engagement with Clemmie and the rest of the cast, you know, very much heightened the film and very much take it to a place where, as I say, you know, you've given a portrait of and a character study of this man in a way that is, you know, both distinctive and unique and hopefully emotionally engaging, that you know, you come out of it feeling like you've been through both a cinematic experience but also a personal and character-driven one.
Right, and I mean, I think that's all absolutely true, but I would add, I really don't think you have to choose. I mean, I saw and hugely enjoyed John Lithgow's performance in The Crown, and I'm really looking forward to Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. And these are three very different Churchills. That's crucial. It's kind of what I mean about how his life was so long and complex, is that, you know, 1940 Churchill in Darkest Hour is a very different man from 1944 Churchill in our film Churchill. And again, a very different man from the sort of 1953 to 56 Churchill in The Crown. Those are really three very different aspects of a man. So yeah, I'm rooting for a triple bill. I think people can.
And also, you know, I mean, the history, you know, recent way the cinema has gone, people are going to see Superman and Superwoman and Superman. There's so many sequels to them. You know, the fact that it's just about Churchill is, you know, there's maybe three or four to choose from. You know, it can be just as engaging and just as entertaining and just as wonderful to see.
Guys, thank you for the time. I really love the movie. The performances are amazing. And, yeah, I will definitely check out the books, Alex. I'm obviously a Texan. I got to check out Dwight D. Eisenhower. And, Jonathan, thanks for...
It's called Blood and Sand, Suez, Hungary, and Eisenhower's Campaign for Peace. So hopefully even the title tells you that it's pretty pro-like.
Thank you guys so much, and can't wait to see what you guys do next. Thank you.
Thank you.